Welcome to the Football Coaches Podcast. Join my co-host and I as we explore topics important to football coaches.
Everything to inside zone, administration, player relationships, and resources for young coaches who's just like us.
I'm Coach Kaysen.
I'm Coach Stop.
Let's dive in.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Football Coaches Podcast, and it feels like it has been forever since we got the chance to sit and talk about football. But we are back, and we're back with another episode. On the other side is my good buddy, my good brother, Coach Kaysen. What's up, brother?
What's going on, Coach?
Hey, man, living the dream, as always, living the dream. So today we have a very interesting topic that we're going to talk about. But first, let's pay some bills real quick. Let's pay some bills. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at Coach W Stock, and also follow Coach Kaysen at First Gen Coach. That first is the actual number, the number one. And then also we do have another channel that we do. We have another web series that we do. We do it on YouTube. Look us up. It's Both Sides of the Ball. All right. That's another place we talk ball and we draw some things up, do some different things, have some more outs, you know, other fun. But today, we really want to talk about BCR. We're going to explain that in a minute. One of our acronyms that we use. But first, the first thing I want to do is I first want to ask Coach Kaysen. Me and him talked about it in the mailbag. You know, starting a mailbag, and I'll let Coach Kaysen kind of, you know, talk about that real quick.
So it's just, it's pretty conventional mailbag. You know, if you have questions, you can send it to us. So you have two minds, anything you want to talk about from, you know, development to any kind of defensive structure, scheme, offensive scheme, fundamental technique, any kind of questions that you have. So we can send them on here and we can answer them actually directly on this podcast. To do that, you can use the two Twitter accounts that that Coach sent. You actually have a couple of outlets. You can send them to the two Twitter accounts that Coach just mentioned. You can also send us an email directly through this podcast. You could write it on YouTube, on a page, anything of that nature. I just want to answer more and more of your questions. We want to keep continuing spreading knowledge between, you know, us young coaches, because every single time I love getting the question. Because you're either, you know, I got to do two things typically. I either have to affirm, you know, the way I do things now, or if you ask me a question that I may not know enough about, I absolutely love researching and finding out. That's been one of my favorite things in the off season to do is researching and finding out. And I think that's helped me learn how the whole saying, you know, there's a couple ways to skin a cat. There's many ways to skin a cat come true, because you find out these different ways to do things and you find out what's worked for guys and you really just build that knowledge bank. So that's what I want that mailbag to really be for coaches, for young coaches like us, older coaches as well, so that we can continue to network. And also, just like I said, with the network, it allows us to talk. Twitter has been one of my favorite things. When it comes, like, it's helped me so much when it comes to football. I've learned
a lot.
Three times from before, and not even from some guy like posting videos or posting clinics, or it's just like a guy will send you a direct message or you send a direct message to a coach and it hits off. You end up, you know, calling and you network that way. And then you end up meeting them. Like last year, I met, I don't know how many guys at clinics, you know, I went after talking to them on Twitter or talking to them on Facebook. And I meet him at the clinic. We get together, and you know, you can go back and forth. So I really want to get that mailbag going. I think that'll help out a lot of coaches for us. But today, all right, we're going to start. Most of our podcasts are going to start with a question, and the question may or may not lead into the actual topic. But I think it's great to have maybe differentiate a little bit what you're going to hear on the podcast today. All right. So today's question, this is usually going to be a question that me or coach brings to each other, or just like a mailbag in a sense, or, you know, one that we get to talking about and we think that's a good question to answer, give our opinion, give our red shot, or take an anecdote from somebody else that we've learned. All right. So today, and I'll let Coach answer first, the question is what do you think is the most or one of the most undercoached fundamentals in the game of high school football at this moment? And I'll let Coach take away with that one.
Well, to answer that, me being an O-line guy, I'm going to kind of take it that way. And I, me personally, I feel that, the biggest thing that most high school kids don't understand is pass blocking, is how to not perfectly pass block, but how to put yourself in a better situation each time you go to pass block. You know, a lot of times I hear people talking, they say, just kick slide. Well, being an O-lineman and pass blocking is not always about just kick sliding. The one thing that I always teach is, how to use your hands, where your hand placement should be. I call it the strike zone. Not striking too early, or don't strike too late. You strike too early, you get your hand swiped down, and now you face forward to the ground and you're bending. You strike too late, he's already inside your chest plate. You're already kind of beat. So the little nuances of pass blocking that I hear all the time, and I hear high school kids say, well, only thing my coach just told me to pass block, being an O-lineman and pass blocking is not just all about kick sliding. It's great to have a kick slide. They are beautiful, but there's so many other different things that go into pass blocking with O-linemen that people just don't understand, in my opinion, at the high school level. So I make my short and sweet,
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that. I think that tempoing, knowing when, the kick slide to stay in the right, angle of the defensive lineman is incredibly important. The main one that I would say for DBs, I think the most, undercoached fundamental is definitely footwork. But for D linemen, it's exactly what we're going to talk about today. For me, it's one of the most undercoached fundamentals and one of the most overlooked aspects to run fits is the BCR, or what's known as boot counter reverse. So what boot counter reverse means, before you get, crazy, is a pursuit technique to me. Okay. It is a fundamental of a pursuit technique. It's going to tell you what you're looking for, what your jobs are of a certain guy before he goes as fast as he can, full love of the game pursuit. All right. That's the two type of pursuits to me. Well, there's three actually. There's the BCR, there's the love of the game pursuit, and then there's the fence player, which is typically a corner on the backside trying to run it down and just knock him out of bounds or get a tackle before on a long run before he gets to the end zone so we can live to have another down. So where does boot counter reverse typically fit in into your run fits? So you can play it from depth, and I think I would in certain odd front structures from an outside backer. And you absolutely can play it from depth. But most guys in a 4-2-5 structure or a 4-3 structure are going to have their boot counter reverse player on the line. And typically what happens, this is just as completely generic as I can get, all right, is you'll have your four down linemen, all right? You have your 5, your 3, your 1, and your 6-7 or whatever he is. So what typically happens is the guy that's on the one, the defensive end on the one side, most of your BCRs are going to be your defensive ends on the back side of plays. And what happens is for that guy, if he gets a down block, if a down block comes and the guy doesn't block him, he steps inside, he strikes his hands as hard as he can, expect him run, and the guy that goes away, he's going to bend and bank. He's going to do what we call bend and run, which is that love of the game pursuit going flat down the line. All right. However, and this is because what's going to happen is he's going to do that coming flat down the line. And what happens is he's technically going to run behind the inside hip of the guard or inside hip of the tackle. Excuse me. And that makes him a B gap player because the gaps, gaps are so fluid in a sense. And what's going to happen is Mike or Will, whatever he is, backer, is going to scrape over top and take the C. And at that point, he's technically what the boot counter reverse player is, all right? What happens is on the 3 and the 5 side, that doesn't happen, all right? So if you run away from the 3 and the 5, the defensive end is typically the BCR player because it's not really likely that he's going to run down all the way from the C gap into the A gap, and the mic or the backer that's in the A gap or whatever you have it structurally built can get back outside of that C, and that be a you know, an honorable fit, a realistic fit. All right, so what does why is it important? It's not important until the take go to run a stretch and hand it off to some receiver running the backfield, and he takes off 45 yards down the field, and everybody's screaming from the fans and the stands want to know where is the – here's my air quotes – backside contain. Want to know where is the backside contain. You know, until then, it doesn't matter, I guess. That's to me, BCR is a run fit. It is a run – it is absolutely a run fit. It should be built into your run fits. Everything's got to come together for a run fit to be great, and this is just one of the pieces. All right, so it stands for exactly what it says, BCR. All right, so a guy's going to see the block come down, come away from him, and always teach our guys that if something's going down, there's always going to be something coming back. Even if there's not something coming back, say it's a zone read principle, there's something coming back because the quarterback can go right around the end and go, okay? And if the guy goes away, you're looking for these three principles. This is the first three
that
we're looking
for. I was just about to ask you that. Okay. I was just about to ask.
So you have your boot first. And what is a boot? Boot is exactly what you hear the announcers say. He is boot. The quarterback is pulling the ball, whether it's under center, out of gun, whatever it is. He's pulling the ball, and he's booting out. He's getting outside of the pocket to try to get a couple extra seconds and to create typically some kind of flood pattern going back behind it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen is if your BCR player does his job correctly, he's going to take his fire in, see the key that he gets that tells him that he's the BCR player here, and he's going to look for the boot. He's going to watch his eyes are going to be transfixed onto the quarterback's mesh point. He's going to see the ball come out, and he's going to attack on this one. This is the only one he'll attack upfield because it's a pass. All right. He's going to attack upfield, meeting that quarterback where his boot's coming out at. So he's going to end up hitting him in that front shoulder, you know, of the guy. Typically, his throwing arm, if it's a righty going left or a lefty going right and vice versa, going to hit him right into it, and that bootleg play is going to be dead if he does his job correctly. All right. The second part is the counter, or some people say cutback. Cutback counter is kind of the same thing in a sense. What's going to happen is he gets that same key that tells him away. We'll say it's a defense end. Defense end gets the down block by the tackle. He's looking. His eyes are transfixed on what's going on inside of him. Handoff's good. And one of two things come back. On a counter, he's going to see, like we talked about, if something's going away, something's coming back. Mm-hmm. That thing coming back is typically a guard or some kind of puller coming to hit him.
Right.
All right. And I don't really care. This isn't a debate on whether you should spill a box. I think that's a run fit podcast. That's absolutely a run fit question podcast, and you can do it both ways. But whatever you're teaching, that's what he should do to that puller coming in. So it typically, he is going to spill, which if you don't know what spill is, it means you're attacking the upfield shoulder with your upfield shoulder. Okay. So what he's trying to do is strike through him, hit him before the guard pulls for him, actually hits him. Exactly. And he's going to try to take two for one. It doesn't always happen, but he's going to try to take up two people so that when you get those guys to scrape over and you get the force player and then what I call a bonus, most people call it alley or an alley or cat player can get in there and make a tackle because we want that running back, that ball carrier, to go as much lateral as possible. That's where our success is going to be, especially where we're at in Florida, where we typically have a lot of speed on the field. All right.
Right.
So the cutback
from everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. The cutback's an interesting one. I think the cutback's kind of hard. It's difficult to do this, to play. Say it's a zone read. My defense end gets blocked down. So he's taught, you know, BCR. All right. He's going to take his step inside. He's going to watch the mesh. He has a hard job because, especially if he doesn't have two high safeties. I think this is an issue with two high safeties. And I heard actually a guy on a podcast, Bert Watts, that Coach Vass did in the last offseason, this past offseason. Bert Watts is the DC at Fresno. He was saying they had these issues because they'd be in these one-high structures, and the defense end would step down and play his BCR rules and whatever he has, and he would be unable to play both the quarterback keep, so the pull and the cutback, because what would happen is his guard and tackle would wash so far down and make the C gap so wide.
Make a two gaps, yep. Turn it almost two gaps, yep.
Basically, well, I mean, it's one gap. It's a one gap.
But it looks
it's
like
so
it.
Wide that it's so tough to play. It's just the same thing if you run up the field, if you're a D lineman, and what happens when you run up the field, you can't you hurt the guys behind you because they have to take on these huge gaps for their run fit. But what was happening is they were having issues when he was on the line of scrimmage to play both the cutback that's getting washed down and the quarterback keep. So the handoff would happen. He'd play his BCR rules. He'd force the handoff, and the running back would skirt right off the edge of that tackle who's washing down, that guard that's washing down, and it would be a hard, hot roll tackle. A lot of my fits I like to teach my guys is what kind of tackle they should be making, all right? Mm-hmm. I want as many opportunities to be making profile tackles and good ang tackles, good vice tackles, and less roll tackles. I know they absolutely have a place, but I don't want to be roll tackling a whole, every down, trying to make a roll tackle against a guy that's going, full speed straight, and then I'm coming, perpendicular to him. It's a tough one when they're the running back. We're going to play a lot of special running backs. Most high school teams are going to put their best offensive weapon in the backfield to ensure that he gets the ball. All right. So those type of things are going to happen. So that's the counter cutback. I think one of the ways to alleviate that issue that I just talked about is play that BCR player off the line of scrimmage. Cause now he can fold in a little bit better and you don't have that huge gap. It gives him time. I'm a big conveyor of playing from depth, and you'll hear that a lot more as we talk. I learned that, Kirby and Matt Campbell from Iowa State. I've heard both of them speak a lot and really changed my mind on that. All right, so the next one, the final one, is the reverse. The reverse is what we talked about a second ago, about the backside contain guy running 45 yards. So he gets a handoff. The handoff happens. There's no boot. All right, it's fully going that way. There's no counter. Cutback's not coming. I'm starting to work down, and we'll talk about the actual feet in a second because I think the feet's important at the end. But my BCR player starts running. He starts to turn his shoulders from square to perpendicular, parallel with the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. and he's running down. And he's still – what I need him to do is run flat and not fully commit all the way to turning perpendicular, parallel, and running flat down that line until he is 100% sure that there is no action coming back, okay?
That's the reason why.
That's why they'll stay square a little bit longer, and I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with this guy not making the tackle. What I do want this guy to do, and I think this is really important, this is your – when your run fits and your pursuit come all together, this tends to be the guy that picks up the fumble if you do a good job. What happens is he does all his jobs, and then once everything is assured that it's not a bootleg, he's not getting cut back, there's no counter and there's no reverse coming at him from the other side of the field, then he's gonna love of the game pursuit. He's running flat, trying to meet the ball carrier where it goes. A hit comes, then we get our gang tackle. One guy strips it out, and by the time all that happens, he's in the play. He's gonna be the guy that picks up the fumble. He's gonna be the guy that can get those things for you done. All right, that's where I kind of fit them. I want to talk about every part of not only tackling but causing turnovers. I want my guys to understand how turnovers happen, how takeaways happen. I screwed up and said turnovers. I put it in my head for the rest of my life. I'm going to say takeaways. I'm not going to call them stupid turnovers. I'm going to call them takeaways. All right. So now that we've covered what the reverse is, I think one of the cooler ones is when you get that true end around and he makes the tackle and he doesn't come upfield as soon as he sees the guy get the ball. So he doesn't run directly at him. He runs where he's going, just like he did with the quarterback. Quarterback's running. The quarterback's typically attacking, less than a 45-degree angle. This guy's going to be coming at about a 60-degree angle towards the line of scrimmage. And you just got to feel – that's where those tackling drills come in. All right. There's tackling pursuit drills. So you feel your angle, you feel your tempo. So you're making the right tackle and you're going the correct way. All right. So the two things that I think are important in teaching this BCR is two main keys. And I think it's the eyes and the feet. And that's a lot. I mean, eyes, hands, and feet. I mean, that's a lot of your body. That's a lot of your body anyway. That's a lot of keys. That's a lot of keys. But for mostly we'll talk about the eyes. And remember I said we want to Medusa stone cold stare into the ball. Wherever the ball is at. We're not walking. We're not running up the field. All right. So how it's going to look, and we call this technique a surf technique because he literally looks like he's surfing on a wave or on a surfboard. And some people call it a squeeze and a pop. Because he squeezes down and he pops back out.
And he pops up.
Okay, so I call it a surf technique because when you say you're supposed to be surfing here, it's really that coaching cue. It's really fast. You can say it really quickly on a practice field and say if you'd have surfed, you know, you got to surf. You should have surfed. If you'd have surfed here, this was what would happen. So the surf is exactly what you think. So he's in a squatted position. He fires off the ball. The guy goes, steps down, he puts his hands on him, and his hands, if he strikes us hard enough, is going to ricochet that guy hard enough, is going to push him inside, and we're going to talk in the defensive end here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to ricochet him as hard as he can inside, and his inside hand is going to stay up like he's halting somebody, what are those people called that do the – that do the directions on a road. Like he's you know, in the well, those people are called where they're cross guards. There you go.
Cross guards. That's
like
it.
He's got his hand pointed up like a cross guard telling him he can't pass. His knees are really bent, really low. Like he's on a wave, literally like he is on a wave. I don't want him to come running up the field. I want him to he's going to strike and maybe take two more steps at most in. And here's the biggest key about the feet. The biggest key for me about the feet is I want the near foot to be in front of the back foot. So the back foot, if you have a Nike swoosh, and it's got a stagger. So a lot of people line up their guys in staggers anyway on both sides of the line. I want that to remain the same with the outside foots. The outside foot's back. Outside foot has a stagger. And let me tell you why. If you flip it inside and you can do it, you know, if you're in your car, you can't do it. But if you're sitting at home, you can do this. If you take your inside foot and stagger it and put your toes on a Nike check of your outside foot, try to turn all of your weight, you know, flip your hips opposite direction and run. Now, compare that to doing the same exact thing, but now I put the inside foot. My hips won't lock. My hips don't lock that way. They're going to turn. It's a lot faster. You're going to pull. Turn, your foot's going to point your direction. You can go run flat down the line or nearly flat down the line. Find that direction.
Just know I'm literally doing it as you're talking.
Yeah, I want them to understand that. And I want coaches to understand it. And I want my players to understand that those little things, if they can remember, and I drill that SHIT into their head that if they do this, they make tackles. And all it takes, I promise you, all it takes is for your slow, your end that thinks he's doesn't have enough speed to even play in, or he's not getting it. The first time that he does this, and for some reason the quarterback pulls it for some stupid reason, or he's bootlegging out, or he gets a reverse, and he does this, and he runs flat down the line about a yard past the line of scrimmage and makes a tackle for a 1 yard loss, he'll never, ever second guess it. He'll do it one time. What he won't do, what he'll be ticked off at, is the first time he's inside foot staggered, takes that step inside, and then has a guy run around him.
Run around, yeah.
Runs all the way around. Because that guy's coming at you at full speed.
Full speed,
you know?
Yep.
And he knows where the play's going. So I don't want to be fast to go to the – I already said that I'm sitting. I'm waiting for boot, counter, cutback, reverse first before I'm even running down the line. So I don't need my hip open that direction. I need my hip open and already kind of cheated to when the guy does do this. That's my job. That's right. That's the job of the BCR player. That is his foremost job. So what he's going to do is exactly that. He's going to be on his surfboard, real low, his hands like a cross guard looking inside in case anything comes back to him. But his hand, what I like the hand for is that he won't keep going in. If he keeps his hand out what tends to happen is they hear that, you, especially when you teach them cross guard stop, he'll push the guy down and he won't go any further. He won't keep squeezing down and make the redirection harder on him. He'll fly right out. And it's just those little things I want my guys to learn, because what ends up happening is even when you have the most talented DNs or the most talented, you know, speed players, at times, you know, the other guys are really good too. I'm not practicing to beat the unathletic teams. We're practicing to beat the best we're going to face. All right. Right. So I think that playing BCR from depth is a thing that it can be really good for you. And this is more of an odd structure guy, 3-4 guy, outside linebacker, or say you're a stack that breaks post-snap. You know, that guy just sits. Nothing changes for him. Now, obviously, he's not going to surf or anything because he's already got the depth.
He's already there. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's sitting in that cutback lane. And once he sees it go away, he just – if it's boot, he's going to come almost directly up the field to hit the quarterback square in the mouth as he turns around trying to slip off that stupid little underneath H slice – stuff or anything like that. Yeah. Any
old
of that
school wagger, baby.
Yeah, any of that. Yeah, exactly. Waggle too. Any of that
old
stuff.
School wagger.
He should be right in the right in the edge of it. I really like that depth position when you're playing a read option team, because
I was just about to say that guy depth, you know, with me, you know, me personally, I kind of, you know, like to have a little mobile quarterback who can, you know, do a little read option stuff. But having that guy depth, it makes it so much harder. So much harder for the quarterback to understand of what he's doing. So I always tell him, you know, when in doubt, give it. And it feels like every time that BCR guy's playing at depth, or, you know, they're in the odd front, it's always that, I don't know what he's doing, so he gives it. And, you know,
and
it kills me.
And doing that eliminates half the play. Now, it keeps you backside. It's blocking. It's doing what the offense wants to do in a way. It just depends.
It's holding him. Yes, absolutely.
It comes down to one, you want to take that guy off the line when you're playing a lot of spread teams. And that's what, you know, you defend what you see, and that's what we see. So we defend a lot of spread teams. So we're going to take that guy from depth. We're going to play a lot of guys from depth. We can send missiles from all different kind of directions instead of having four down 24/7, you know. And then it also is going to compress the cutback lane of the running back as well. And that's what I really like about it. And that's why I like to play it. And you can play BCR with an overhang, depending on if it's 3-by-1.
I was just about to ask. Yes, does it matter who the BCR guy is?
It doesn't. Here's the thing. It's just like anything else. You know, the more we go, the more hybrid defensive players become. It comes down to, can you teach force, you know, who's the force player, who's the alley player, who's the spill player, who's inside of the umbrella principle, who's outside of it, who's the BCR. It has to be understood. Less of, I need to know the Mike backer is this all the time. This is what Mike backers do. This is I'm inside, you know, I'm on the backside of a play and I'm inside the umbrella. So I'm not a force player. And we'll talk about the umbrella. It's a TCU Gary Patterson thing. We'll talk about the umbrella in another episode. And I'm inside of it. So I'm not, you know, I don't have that force responsibility. And a lot of teams do that against the boot, is they'll have the guy on, to face good boot teams, to face good McVay, good, you know, Shanahan, teams like that, that run that wide teams, zone. Yeah, Coach Cadutti, it's on YouTube, you can check out, has really good wide zone stuff. And they'll boot him out, and you have that guy there. They'll send that Mike backer that's opposite off the edge, screaming off the edge, and the defense end's flying down.
It's flying. And you got two, yeah.
I think that's a really underlooked, you know, facet of run fits. I think it's just as important as teaching inside, you know, gap control and things of that nature. I think it's incredibly important to what you're going to do to have success as a defense. And mainly, you don't want to log everything up on the front side, and then they leak out a reverser. Like nothing's more killer than the, like, it could be a flex or a spread option team. They run that speed option a couple times at you, and you bottle it, and then they'll take the front side wing, and as he goes to get the speed option, he, like, intercepts it, and then he's running the other way full speed, and he goes flying. Like, I see Army and Navy do it all the time. All right. Just remember.
So quick question. So, you know, real quick before we – so, you know, every position we have certain drills that we do. You know, every position has, as we said one day, we call our EDD drills. Is there a certain drill for this BCR guy, or is it a practice type coaching point?
I think that if it's a defensive player, if it's a defensive line player, you put it into your block recognition. I think that what you do is, you know, at the most basic point, you know, four down teams are going to have a three and a five side. They're going to have a three tech on one side and a one tech. And the three tech has to be – the end on the three tech side has to be a BCR player because the backer can't scrape all the way over.
It's inside.
Yeah, so far inside, he can't scrape over. It's the same reason, you know, you have to be careful what kind of coverages you put him in because he has so much run fit responsibility. So it's one of those things you tell him, maybe on one day you tell your ends, hey, we're doing block recognitions today and you have all three techs. So now they do their BCR stuff. All right. It could be a thing. If you're a full box team, I don't know how exactly you would do it. If you're a full box team and all your ends did it, that's all your ends, all of your ends, both of them would do that. Maybe that's how you practice your step down. I think you block. I mean, there's only three things an offensive lineman can do if you're going to defensive line block recognition. It's he can either attack at you, he can either go inside away from you, or he can back up to pass protect.
Pass it, and that's it.
You know,
that's about all we can do.
I mean, basically, I mean, there's little intricacies and doubles and things like that, but they all fall under one of those things. So I absolutely think it's a thing you build. And it could be a linebacker recognition thing as well. Say you take half a line and they all step down. Say all, like, the center guard tackle to his side step down, and he knows that he's the BCR player. He's going to come screaming. Not necessarily screaming, but he's going to try to. He's going to put his eyes in that spot and get ready for one of those three coming back at him.
Okay. All right. Well, pretty much you answered all my questions pretty much during it. So – That made it, you know, pretty easy. But I don't have anything else.
Cool deal. We'll close this bad boy out. Like he said before, I'm Coach Kaysen. On Twitter, you can hit me up. I'm forever on there talking ball at First Gen Coach. That's 1-STGENCOACH. We're gonna go put out those YouTube series stuff. So get on there. All right. Support the podcast for us. Follow it on whatever you got it on, you know, because we've got this podcast on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, basically Apple. Anywhere you can get podcasts. Yeah. Listen to the podcast, follow it for it or subscribe for us. Give us a review, help us out. If you don't like something, tell me where we can get better. You know, I want this to be as conversational and as experimental as possible for a coaching football.
Right.
Yeah, as for a coaching football podcast. Absolutely.
As we say, just two guys having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
But it has been fun. I've learned a lot, and I hope that our listeners that you have can, you know, take something from this and use it, you know, in the everyday coaching that, you know, with them and their respective schools. So that is it, brother. That is a wrap.
All right. Good night.
Have a good one, guys.
Been listening to the Football Coaches Podcast. Have a great night, guys.